Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Blue Balls Podcast. As always, I am your host, Luke Walsh, and joining me, Eric Riesberg. How are we doing tonight, Eric?
We are doing quite well. I spent some time this weekend at an apple orchard, so it finally feels like it's fall. Like that's like the intro, you know? That's the gate you walk through, and then all of a sudden, the fall vibe comes rushing in, you know?
Right, once you like actually do a fall activity.
Right, and obviously that's been, I don't know, a little slower to be done this year due to, you know.
Due to difficulties of doing things.
Yeah, but it was nice. It was fun. It was a new orchard, never been to before. A ridiculous amount of apple trees, like way more than I've ever seen or can probably even process. I don't know. It was just like so many apples, which is great.
Isn't that what you hope for, though, at an orchard? A whole lot of apples?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, good point.
What if you went to an apple orchard and it was just like one tree?
Yeah, it's like a couple trees and it was just like totally picked bare. It's like, oh, you missed it. Harvest was last week.
Yeah, it was like, you know, we only have apples for one weekend. Besides that, here's a tree.
At least your operating costs would be very low.
They would, but you also would have no profit.
Right. But they had a cidery too, which was sweet. It was really, really good. They had like a bourbon honey iced cider.
Oh.
And it was phenomenal.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's probably one of the like best ciders I've ever drank.
Well, okay. I mean, I believe it. It sounds like it would just be great.
Yeah, and it smelled just like a bourbon barrel, and yeah, it was. Oh. It was really good.
Oh, you love that. You love to hear that.
Yeah. Man. That's pretty much it. I mean, we did that, and then they also had like a apple slingshot thing.
What? Wait, hang on. Why is this an afterthought?
Yeah. Well, you'll find out why in a second. We went down to like, so we went and picked a bunch of apples off the ground that were like already kind of like somewhat trampled or rotten or whatever, so that we weren't wasting good apples, because why would we do that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we go down to the slingshots, and there's like a big old truck in the back, and there's some like posts and stuff you can try and aim for, and we get to them, and all the slings were broken.
What?
I know. It was so disappointing. So we go up to each one and we tried using face masks actually as the replacement sling. Cause like the bands were all there, but there was nothing to hold the like actual apple itself. It did not work. We ended up just throwing the apples from the platform, but it would have been very cool, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, you know, can't always get everything to work out exactly how you want it to, unfortunately.
That's true.
But it sounds like it was still a good time.
It was a good time. And the leaves were really beautiful. And it's like right at the end of the season for all the colors and stuff. So it was a good time.
Gosh, man. The leaf changing out here has been so weird because we're still sitting in temps of like, you know, 80 and above. At times.
Sure. Yeah.
just to like be walking around in like heat, you know, relatively warm weather, and then like see leaves on the ground. And I'm like, this is weird. This is different.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel quite right. But
yeah,
it's better than winter, I suppose.
I mean, yeah. There's much less to complain about in fall.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
I feel like we've had this convo before, but are you a fall or an autumn guy?
Oh, as far as what I call it?
Yeah.
Fall. Autumn feels a little, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Formal?
No. Snooty.
Ah, okay.
There's like another word for snooty that's like a fancy word, which is even snootier than the word snooty. I can't think of it right now, but yeah,
Those words are too rich for me.
Yeah, it feels like a rich person word. Like, oh, we will go up to the lake and experience autumn on our holiday. Like, come on. Who are you?
And they always have that accent every time.
Oh, yeah. It like kind of flows, right? It doesn't start. And then as they get farther into their sentence, they're like, oh, I really should get excited about some of these things. And so, oh, we're going to go up to the lake and we're going to have some apple pie. Like, it just like, I mean, come on. You're not fooling anybody.
Oh, man. How often do you experience these people?
Oh, never. They're like completely fictional.
Oh, man. That'd be hilarious, though, if they were real.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty good.
I'm sure there are people that are really like that. No one that I know is like that.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people, but I don't know. I don't hang out with those people, yeah, if they exist at all.
They're above our pay grade.
Absolutely. Have you been?
I've been good overall. Yeah, I had family in town last week. My oldest sister and my mom were in town. My oldest sister, she recently got engaged, and they were out here doing some wedding dress shopping. I didn't get to tag along. It would have been fun.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, just that asshole who's at like the wedding dress.
Say yes. Say yes.
Exactly. Right. I'd be like for any new girl fans, I would be like Winston.
That's a great episode.
Oh, it's so good. But the downside, they couldn't bring champagne to the wedding dress fittings. So, like, what's even the point?
Well, I mean,
besides the wedding dress, but like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right. It's almost like we should just wait until they let us bring champagne, because that's the real event.
Right. Yeah. But no, they were in town and it was good. We hung out damn near every night. So my week last week was a little full.
Yeah, a little busy.
Oh, busy. Nothing wrong with that, but I got this. I got a week to like decompress for a little bit.
Yeah,
take it easy.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, man.
Yeah, family time is always nice, but also a little draining.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, but other than that, pretty low key overall, I would say. Work is work.
Yeah. Yep. It's always there.
We don't talk about that much.
Nope. This is an escape from that world.
This is a safe space.
Yep.
Even though like everyone who listens to it listens at work, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I even do a lot of the like editing listening from work. So
nice. Nice.
Because I'd rather do this.
Right. Yeah. We put a lot of time researching.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't just pull things out of our butt.
Yeah, duh, totally. Case in point, how we named our last episode the Tampa Bay Enigma. and then the fucking backfield got solved.
Yeah, it's literally Ronald Jones. That's what it is.
That's it. He looks good. They're giving him the ball. It's not an enigma anymore.
He's fixing the drop thing. Tampa Bay is known. They're a known commodity now.
Yeah. They are a force. It's scary. Who'd have thunk that all they needed was a good quarterback?
And a litany of running backs.
Well, I mean, you know, they already kind of like had a litany of running backs. It's just the talent level of the litany got better.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Tampa's, they're pretty solid.
Yeah. Not solid enough to beat Chicago, though.
Okay, all right.
Oh, look, we're talking about him. I got to bring it up.
It's true. It's a good win. It's a strong win. I still think the Bears are the worst 4-1 team.
Oh, easy. Easily.
But, yeah.
We were talking, you know, Packers were fake last year. Bears are such a fake this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still like. I'm holding out hope that my bet that I made with my coworker that the Lions are going to finish second in the division is going to hold up.
Wow. Well, at this rate, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that front.
There's some work to do, but it's not over by any means.
What are the Lions right now? 1-3.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? If they win, then they're going to be 2-3. And if the Bears lose, then they'll be 4-2. And now you're only talking a game and a half behind. They haven't played the Bears yet. They win both of those games. Also, bam. They're ahead of them.
Week one.
Oh, poop.
Week one. The Bears won on a DeAndre Swift drop pass in the end zone.
See, that's what I'm saying. The Lions are a lot better than 1-3.
Hey, man, they beat the Cardinals and then sent the Cardinals on like a downward spiral. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, the Lions are better than they appear. Unfortunately, they're probably not going to be second in the division because the Bears are winning games.
Right. Yeah, that typically doesn't help anyone else climb up in the standings.
Right. Know?
But you work with what you can, and right now the Bears are working with wins somehow.
It's because of Big Dick Nick, obviously.
Obviously. Why? What else would it be attributed to? Nothing.
Nothing.
David Montgomery looks okay.
It is wild that the quarterback that has the only loss on the season is the starter.
Yeah, right? Kind of nuts.
They were like, this guy, he was undefeated. And this guy, he lost a game. Let's go with the guy that lost the game.
But when they made the switch, he hadn't lost the game yet.
True. But maybe they should switch back then.
Nope. As someone who has watched both quarterbacks, nope.
No, thank you.
I'd rather not.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Enough talk about the NFC North here. Only two teams in the NFC North.
Yeah, right? We don't even care about the other two at this point.
Nah, apparently not.
We know what they are.
Yeah, right? They've been the same thing for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but moving on from that, Eric, what are we drinking tonight, man?
In honor of my trip to the apple orchard and the entrance of fall into my life, autumn into my life, I'm having a Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin Wheat. It is a 5.7% ABV and has 16 IBUs. Count them, 16.
1, 2, 3. Four. I'm not doing it.
Not doing it all the way. No, that's no. Probably good.
I got bored at 4. Welcome to the pumpkin beer hype train, Eric.
Thank you. It's a fun train.
It very much is. 'Tis the season. You are officially living the fall life. Mm-hmm. You're a fall guy officially.
I'm now basic. Yeah.
100%.
That's okay. I mean,
you know, we all go through a basic phase one point or another.
Basic is good.
It is good. It's simple, straightforward. You don't need to, there's no complications.
Yeah. Basic is fine.
Too many people give too much shit to basic.
I agree. Being a basic person is, it's like enjoying the simple things in life is what being a basic person really is. And like, I think that's a good quality.
Yeah. It just got memed to hell.
Yes.
So is viewed very negatively, but
like anyone who drinks a pumpkin spice latte and says that's not delicious is lying.
Oh yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's obviously delicious. I mean, I couldn't drink one every day. No. One, cause wallet, and two, cause it's a lot of sugar, but it is delicious. And I will give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. You got to give props where it is necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. So basic's cool. It's fine by me. What are you drinking, Luke?
I am taking it easy this week. Like I said, because my family was in town last week, I drank pretty much every night last week. So I'm rocking some water. Stay a little bit. Clean out the system a little bit.
Nice. Got a good call.
Nice. Nice basic water here.
Yeah.
We're just a couple of basic bitches tonight.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
I like it. All right. Let's move on. Let's get into some of this NFL action that happened over the past week. Start out with some news before we get into the injury breakdown. A little bit lighter this week, but that happens. We take those weeks sometimes. First off, in recent news, we are recording this on Wednesday, October 14th. Just yesterday on Tuesday, Le'Veon Bell, running back of the NFL, was released by the New York Jets.
He's free.
He's free.
He's finally free.
Master gave Dobby a sock.
Now, hopefully he actually does something with it, unlike the actual Dobby in Harry Potter.
How dare you?
I always felt Dobby was just kind of a Yeah. Anyways,
we can... how dare you?
Yeah. Oh, well.
But yeah, I mean,
I guess I'm Team Malfoy. What do I know?
Apparently, what's wrong with you? But yeah, so Le'Veon Bell, one of the most just insanely athletically talented running backs in the entire league, has been in a shit situation for the past, what, 2 years has it been?
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years. He started there in 2019.
Yeah. He got paid, which is what he wanted. And now, instead of firing Adam Gase, the Jets decided to let Adam Gase cut players.
And he chose one.
He chose the one that he has hated since he got hired. I mean, right? This story has been around for a while that Adam Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell. And they've had disagreements frequently the entire time they've both been there. Now Bell is free. He is off of the team. He is away from the black hole that is Adam Gase. He's a free agent. Eric, you've looked up some Vegas numbers on where he might go.
Yeah, MGM released their odds as to where Le'Veon Bell would be going. And the odds right now have Bears at 4-1, Eagles at 5-1, Cardinals 8-1. And those are kind of the top three. After that, you're getting into 11-1 for the Niners and Bills, 12-1 for the Patriots, and it just gets worse from there.
Right, yeah.
But the Bears, they're giving the Bears the best odds here, which I'm not totally sure I agree with.
I don't either. Speaking as a Bears fan, I would love to see it, but just it's not that... It just doesn't feel like it would be the right fit. I don't know.
Well, mostly because he's not going for money, right? Maybe the Bears have the best chance of paying him, but he wants to win. Like, he wants to win a Super Bowl. And I know we talked about the Bears being 4-1 right now, but they are not a 4-1 team. They're not a Super Bowl team right now.
Right. It definitely doesn't feel that way. I mean, our defense is very good, but it's not going to be... You know, if we bring in Bell, that's not going to be the thing that puts us over the top. We don't have a running back problem. We have a quarterback problem overall.
Yeah, the only other thing that would maybe make sense is Tariq Cohen is out for the season and Bell can do a lot of the things that Cohen does. But again, I just don't really see the fit here. To me, I think the Bills make a lot of sense. They've had some struggles with Singletary. I don't think the Eagles make a lot of sense. Miles Sanders has shown that he's capable, and he's doing fine. I think the Patriots make a little bit of sense, but again, they like to use a committee, and I don't know that Bell would want to be in a committee.
Yeah, I don't think he would either, but if we're talking about places that give him the best chance to win, New England's definitely up there.
So is Buffalo, I think.
Yeah, right. I think if he could go to Buffalo, I think that would be the best spot for him.
Also, he would look dope in those Buffalo jerseys.
Everyone looks dope in those Buffalo
jerseys. Yeah, they have maybe the best uniforms.
They are very good looking, yes.
But anyways, I don't really know where Bell's going to go. If I had to put my money on one of these, oh, God. I think I'd probably do the Bills, actually.
I mean, that makes sense. If I were to put money anywhere, I would say the Patriots just because Patriots.
You know? They just do that shit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They just fucking do it. I don't get it, but they do it.
I would like to touch on the Steelers being the 7th in line at 14-1 odds.
That would be hilarious. Could you imagine?
It would be pretty funny. it won't happen.
No. It would be... I mean, James Conner owners would weep.
Yes. Yes, they would.
But yeah, I mean, that's the Le'Veon Bell situation. It's he got released, and weirdly enough, his fantasy outlook seems better when he's not on a team than when he was with the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly when he clears waivers. I imagine no one is going to pick him up off waivers because that means they have to take some of his salary, which they're not going to do.
Yeah. No, they're going to make New York eat that shit.
Right. So I don't know when he comes off waivers, but after that, I would imagine he's going to get offers pretty quickly.
Yeah. You would think. I mean, the Jets were trying to trade him allegedly, but no one was going to trade and take on that contract either. Just wasn't going to work out.
Right.
Yeah. But, That's Le'Veon Bell. That's probably the most exciting news from this past week. Moving on, something that happened earlier today / late last night. Melvin Gordon, running back for the Denver Broncos, was charged with a DUI. I believe, I don't know if it was like DUI as in over the legal limit for alcohol, or DUI, I haven't looked at like the statement. I don't know if he was like high and driving. Either way.
On the things I've looked at, I haven't seen any substance listed. I think that they're probably intentionally leaving that out of the report.
Right.
But at the same time, he was also driving 20, they're saying like 25 to 40 miles an hour over the speed limit. So,
yeah, which sober or not, that's just dangerous.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah. So that's a situation that's going to change. Vic Fangio was asked if Gordon would play this week on Sunday, because technically he still could. Fangio said that situation, where they haven't made the call yet. They will probably make it in the next couple of days. So by the time you guys hear this, we will know more on the Melvin Gordon situation. But per the collective bargaining agreement that the players made with the NFL, a DUI has a minimum suspension of 3 games.
Yeah, I have a feeling the NFL is going to come down on this one pretty quick and give them a suspension before Denver has to make that decision.
I think it would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I don't really see why they would wait.
A, you know it's going to be 3 games. It's a DUI. B, why was he out in a situation where he would be in getting a DUI? He's like, what?
I thought we were supposed to quarantine.
Yeah, be smarter. I mean, you can go out and like do stuff, have fun, but like don't get shit-faced.
And then get in a car.
This man has how much money? And he can't call a fucking Uber?
Yeah, it's dumb. It's really dumb. It's dumb,
yeah. But we're just going to have to wait and see what the NFL says. If they're going to enact it immediately, or if this is one of those, they'll wait for the legal system to take its turn, in which case he might not serve the suspension until next season. We don't know.
Yeah. Lindsay is scheduled to come back this week. So, I guess that's really good for him if Gordon doesn't play.
Yeah. Very good outlook for Lindsay this week. If Gordon doesn't play, if you don't have Lindsay anywhere, you probably missed the opportunity unless you took advantage of it before this came out.
Correct.
Yeah. Next up on our docket, speaking of the Broncos and the Patriots game was postponed from this past week because the Patriots are now taking over the Titans role of having positive tests every other day for COVID. And as a result of that, there was a huge shift of the schedule for all of the teams.
I'm glad someone else is in charge of the schedule and not me, because that was very complicated.
It was so nuts. That list was crazy. But basically, I mean, we're not going to go into the list. Look it up yourself. I posted it in the chat, whatever. The big thing you need to take away from it is that bye weeks are not the same as they were before.
Yep. So just watch your schedules. I'm sure that all the fantasy apps are going to be updating their schedules as quickly as possible to make sure that they're accurate per your players. But just keep an eye on it.
Yeah. So if you thought, you know, week 6 and it could be week 11 now, just keep a look on it. Moving forward, we had a firing. Eric?
Yeah, Dan Quinn. The guy I thought it was going to be a little too early for, apparently I was wrong. They've played pretty bad. I think the catalyst here is Quinn is supposed to be a defensive coach, and Atlanta never really figured out the defensive side of the ball, right? So the offense was always good. It has plenty of talent. It hasn't been very good this season, but the talent is definitely there. But the defense just never really became what is supposed to under Quinn. And so he's gone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for the past couple seasons, in terms of fantasy purposes, the Falcons defense was always one you felt confident playing every single one of your players against.
Right.
That's a bad look.
Yeah. It's not good.
Also,
Dan Quinn will get a job somewhere. I don't know if he'll be a head coach again.
He'll probably be a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Though, based on the defensive performance of the Falcons, he shouldn't be.
Right.
Look, if a team wants to blow a lead when they're up by at least 25, then yeah, bring Dan Quinn on.
Give him a ring.
But I feel like a lot of teams won't take that chance.
No, I don't think so.
He could be. What's his like specialty besides just defense overall? Is he like a linebacker? Is he like a cornerback coach? Like, what is he? Defensive line?
I don't remember exactly. I know he was brought in as a defensive mind, so I think he was a defensive coordinator before he became the head coach there.
That makes sense.
So
feels like a pretty logical step up.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's Dan Quinn. He got fired, and Adam Gase still has a job.
Yep.
Whatever.
Maybe he's sleeping with someone.
Someone that there's like one person that has the capacity to fire him, which is the owner, right? Is he sleeping with the owner?
Probably.
All right.
He's got those crazy eyes, you know, maybe he's into that sort of thing.
If that's his thing, that's his thing.
Yeah, right. That's totally fine. But like, he's doing something to make sure he doesn't get fired. And I don't know what it is.
There's something going on under the table. Yeah.
Something.
Something. fuck Adam Gase. Moving on. Injuries. Eric, this is a little sad this week.
Yeah, this top one I'm sure everyone knows by now. Dak Prescott, he sideways his foot. He broke his ankle, compound ankle fracture. He had surgery on it that night. He got out of the hospital the next day. He's very obviously going to be done for the season. Potentially longer. It is a pretty gruesome injury to watch. I hope he gets better soon.
Yeah, I think we all hope he gets better soon. This is one of those situations of Dak is one of the more exciting players to watch in the league. He's a great guy. I never hear anything bad about Dak Prescott in the news. It's just a brutal injury. Just sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Obviously, this means Dalton steps in. We'll talk about Dalton a little bit later. But this Cowboys team is definitely taking a bit of a step down here.
Yeah, yeah. You need to adjust your expectations of all of the Cowboys players that you have. I think all the wide receivers are still going to be fine, but Zeke will get more work as a result. But yeah, it's a rough go.
Yeah, not a good one. Next injury we have here, Dalvin Cook. He hurt himself in the third quarter of the game against the Seahawks. He has a groin strain. They said he was fine. They brought him back on the field, but he never took another snap. So he's going to be week to week. Most likely he's going to miss week 6. Vikings have a bye in week 7, so might see him again in week 8.
I mean, that makes the most sense. Give him a week's rest in terms of game that they weren't planning on, and then, yeah, he'll come back stronger than ever. Well, maybe not stronger than ever, but he'll come back and be playing.
Yeah, I mean, you skip this one game and you basically get 3 weeks of rest.
Right, which, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, after. We'll want to see Cook back on the field, obviously. He's a dynamic talent.
He's leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns, yeah?
Yards, I believe. I don't think it was touchdowns.
It was one of them.
It was yards before last week. I don't know if that's changed.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, we'll talk about what this means a little bit later on in the show.
Yeah. The next guy here, AJ Green. I mean, you knew he was going to make this list at some point this season. He has a hammy problem. It's going to be multiple weeks, probably. He'll be questionable, and then he'll be out right before the game. That's just how it goes. It's just AJ Green. I mean, I have no idea what else to say about him.
It's the circle of life.
Yeah, it is inevitable.
Dread it. Run from it. Hamstring injury to AJ Green arrives all the same.
Like, honestly, at this point, if you're drafting AJ Green, I don't even feel sorry for you because you know what you're getting into.
It's a reason I have avoided AJ Green in so many leagues for so many years.
Yeah, it's been years since I've drafted AJ Green. it's too bad because he really does have the tools to be a talented wide receiver and like a top shelf wide receiver, but he just cannot stay healthy. He just can't.
Yeah, no, he can't. And you know, you can't stay on the field. You're not going to stay on a team. And it feels like right now, Cincinnati's ready to move on.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's looking good. AJ Green has been on the field less and less. T. Higgins has been on the field more and more. I think Cincinnati is just, they're, I wonder if they're shopping him, but no one's going to take.
No, no one will take him.
Not with the injury history. He'll be a free agent after this year. I believe he's been doing what, 1 year contracts?
Yeah, I think so.
So,
yeah, I mean, Tyler Boyd is in the top 10 for targets this season. So, I mean, they're ready to be done.
God, Tyler Boyd, what a stud.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
Yeah, AJ Green, 1 year deal. This is it, mm-hmm. with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. He'll be an unrestricted free agent next year. He is going to be 33 next season. Someone could take a chance. I just don't know who.
I don't think anyone's desperate enough.
Not at this point. He could be one of those receivers that just doesn't get signed until someone gets super desperate, like the Eagles. But, you know, I feel like the Eagles with their injury problems won't want to bring in an injury prone receiver.
Maybe it'll be like this, like, but it's like Bizarro World in Philadelphia, where he'll go and he'll be like amazing and perfectly healthy. And like,
that could be it.
Maybe.
Oh, that'd be, oh,
it'd be something.
It definitely would. Yeah.
But that's it for him. I'm done with Green forever. I mean, I can talk about him again. That's fine. But he's not worth having on your team ever, anywhere. Sammy Watkins, wide receiver, Kansas City, also a hammy problem. It's gonna be the same story as AJ Green. Just probably to a little bit less of a frequency than AJ Green has.
Yeah, exactly. This opens the door a little bit for Mecole Hardman to finally get more work. But yeah, Sammy Watkins, another one of those that feel like he has injuries every single year. Different stuff. Same hammy. Yeah.
Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for Pittsburgh. He has a back injury. He is the reason that Chase Claypool went nuts being hurt. Claypool got a lot of opportunity in that game, and he definitely made the most of it. But as far as Deontay Johnson, he's day-to-day. We don't really know where we're at with that. He might play next week. We'll find out. The other weird thing about Pittsburgh here is they already had their bye because of this whole COVID situation with Tennessee. So he's never going to be able to find an extra week of rest.
Which is unfortunate because a lot of these players, I think they always look forward to that bye week so that they can get that rest. I mean, you look at the Broncos, they didn't have any positive COVID tests. Find out the day of the game that their game was getting postponed. Right. They're like, so many players tweeted out, they're really just going to, we practiced all week and now we're not going to play?
Yeah, what's like going on? We've been working hard all week. Like, are you joking me? Yeah.
Yeah. And so they lost a bye week. That's what happened.
Yeah. So it's an unfortunate situation. Hopefully we can see Deontay Johnson on the field again. He's looked really solid. But don't count out Chase Claypool from taking over some of the work in Pittsburgh.
He's looking like a stud.
Yeah, he looks like he can do some real work. Yep. Keenan Allen, wide receiver for Los Angeles Chargers. He had a back injury as well. It is unclear on his timetable. Mike Williams stepped up big time.
That he did, yeah. It makes you think, if Keenan Allen stayed healthy, I think the Chargers would have won that game.
I think so. Yeah, the Chargers are really looking pretty good. We talked about the Bears being the worst 4-1. I think the Chargers are definitely the best 1-4. Like, it's not close.
Yeah, the Chargers are much better than the record shows.
The Chargers are a couple scores away from being 4-1, possibly 5-0.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Justin Herbert has stepped up as the quarterback of that team. In his rookie season, he's looking great.
Yeah, I'm excited about where the Chargers can go, and I'm sure Josh is as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And the last injury we have on our list here, DJ Chark, wide receiver for Jacksonville. He has an ankle injury. He's probably not going to miss any time, but something to keep an eye on. He might be slowed down. He might be held to somewhat of a snap count. Just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he said they're, yeah, not missing, but hasn't really produced lately.
He has been a bit of a disappointment this year.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I thought DJ Chark was due for a breakout, but he's had two good games. One of them great, but the rest have been relatively quiet.
Yeah, pretty low target share. The one week he had 9, but other than that, it's been 4 or less.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's weird. But that's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we got for injuries. So let's move on. Let's go into this weekly recap from what happened in the league this past week. We'll start off with Eric, your matchup against DJ EJ Will 2019. Alvin and the Dalvins lost, putting up 128.1 to DJ EJ Will's 132.9. Tough one for you there, Eric.
Yeah, pretty close, yeah.
Next up, myself, Voodoo Mama Juju, scored 131.2, losing to Prestige Worldwide, who put up 132.8.
Even closer.
I hate it. We were both dependent on that Monday night game.
Yeah, we were both really excited that it went into overtime because we were like, ah, shit, we both have players that can get points here. And
then none of our players got points.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Kamara had a good reception, a really good catch in the overtime. Besides that, didn't do anything, right?
I don't think he got any points in the overtime, actually.
Was that catch, was that in regulation?
Yeah.
Okay. Insane catch. He's so good.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah. Next up, Sean's LA Rams scored 133.1, defeating Josh's Fire Adam Gase squad, who put up 91.4. I love the name change.
Yeah, that is our Turd Ferguson award as well. But yeah, I am a big fan of the name change. I think we need to start using our team names as flags for what we believe in.
It's like messages.
Yeah, and I believe that that is the correct message.
Yes, it definitely is. Next up, Ehrman's Sherlock Mahomes squad put up 151.95. Huge number. Defeating Jackson's Thielen, now Mr. Crab squad, who put up 112.4.
That's a whooping.
Yeah. Ehrman, somehow the worst manager of the week, but the highest score.
That's what happens when you have Chase Claypool scoring 40 on your bench.
That literally is what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do it. And finally, our matchup of the week from last week, Team Rennie scored 107.4, narrowly defeating Brett's Wrath of Kwan, who put up 100.2.
Yeah. I think extra impressive considering Jimmy Garoppolo scored -2 points in this game.
God, Garoppolo was having a rough day against Miami. Also, Miami, what the fuck?
Yeah, Miami is actually pretty good. I don't really know what to think about them. They are going to put Tua in at some point, probably soon. They're 2-3. Something about this Miami team, they have a lot of grit.
I think they would be more inclined to put Tua in if Fitzpatrick wasn't winning games. 2-3. 2-3 isn't great, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they necessarily care about winning games, though. I think the thing with Fitzpatrick and Tua is you want to get the team clicking and get everyone kind of on the same page so that when Tua steps in, everyone's kind of flowing together and he can sort of join the group instead of a total cluster disaster and have him try to right the ship himself. I think it's a lot less pressure for a new quarterback to go into if things are sort of going well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they would wait a little bit longer still before Tua comes in. I mean, what do you think? Like last quarter of the season they could do it?
I've heard the next couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I do see him, you know, he's always on the sideline, looks like he's ready to go all the time. But man, Fitzpatrick, I don't know. I wonder if he hears the rumblings and then that just like ignites a fire.
Yeah, that's probably it.
But
you know what's really happening is Miami is starting all of these rumors so that Fitzpatrick plays well.
It could be, yeah. I mean, you look at Fitzpatrick, he's having a good year. He's the number 6 quarterback in our league, number 7 fantasy scorer overall. The past few weeks, he has not there's only one week where he had a bad week. It was week one. He put up 4. Since then, he has not had a week below 22 points.
Yeah, I mean, he's played well. There's nothing to be upset about here.
Nothing at all there. But yeah, back to this matchup, back to the Rennie versus Brett matchup. We talked about Jimmy Garoppolo, negative score. That's weird. Will Fuller is still good.
Turns out he can be a number one receiver.
As long as the dude stays on the field, as long as he stays healthy, he's set. In terms of, other success stories for Ryan, we talked about Ronald Jones a little bit earlier. Did we? Or was that offline?
No, we did. Well, maybe. Ronald Jones is good. It's no longer a Tampa Bay enigma.
Yeah, that's it. We figured that out. The story, though, on Ryan's side, the Ravens defense, holy shit, 26 fantasy points, 1 pick, only 3 points, 7 sacks, and a touchdown on a fumble recovery.
Yeah, Cincinnati needs a new offensive line badly.
Oh, it's garbage. It's so bad. So bad. And then on the other side of the ball, on Brett's squad, you got the unfortunate Dak situation. I don't know, looking at the score, 7 points, I feel like if Dak stays healthy, Brett wins.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
But letdowns, Devin Singletary only putting up 3.8, Mark Ingram with 5.7, and then Eric Ebron only putting up 4.8, which was better than Zach Ertz on Ryan's side of the ball, but you got multiple guys who are only putting up single digits. Not going to help.
It's not going to help you win games. No, he's got Jared Cook on his bench, which is a bit of a missed opportunity there. But other than that, I mean, we talked about it in the preview. He's just been decimated with injuries, and just add one to the pile here.
Yeah, just keeps piling on for Brett. Very. This feels kind of like a lost season for Brett. A
little bit.
Yeah, it's rough. That's rough, buddy. But that is our matchup. Congratulations, Ryan, on the win. Eric, congratulations on your prediction.
Thank you.
Getting back in the win column. That puts our podcast record even, both of us sitting at 3-2.
We're getting better at this, Luke.
We are.
We overall. Both have winning records right now.
We both have winning records, so we take that while we can.
Still early.
Yep, still early. Always time for that to shift and move around and prove us very wrong.
Go the other direction.
Feels like that. There's, like we said, there's always a bigger chance that happens than us getting it right.
There's always a bigger fish.
But that is our recap for the week. And now let's get into some waiver action. Eric, you made some moves, man.
I spent a lot of money this week. Yeah. significantly more than I had hoped. But I suppose I shouldn't put it on the line if I don't expect to lose it. I put a lot of money down for Andy Dalton. I put down $37. I thought people would be more interested. I was incorrect. No one else put a bid on him. So that was a big waste of money there. I think Andy Dalton is going to do well. I think he's a good quarterback. He always had problems with Cincinnati. We just talked about their offensive line being garbage. It's always been garbage. Now he has a good offensive line, granted some injuries there, but he has the best receiving core in the league to throw to.
And one of the best running backs in Zeke.
Yeah, I just think this situation is good for Dalton, and he's going to put up points. And I've been kind of mulling over how my quarterbacks are mediocre at best all season long, and I saw this as an opportunity. And so I took it, and it cost a lot of money.
Well, that's the price you pay sometimes. You want to guarantee that you get the guys that you want to get.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like with the way my team has been playing so far this season, this is maybe a good chance to win it all, and so I kind of wanted to go all in.
Going all in. I like it.
And then my next guy that I got, Travis Fulgham for $27. The dude exploded this week. I think he got like 17 targets or something crazy like that this week.
Let me fact check that. But yeah, it was very high.
13 targets, it looks like. But 10 receptions, 152 yards, and a touchdown. Last 2 weeks, he's had a touchdown, actually. It seems like he's getting some trust from Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz is starting to turn it up a little bit. Seems like a nice guy to have. It's only his second year in the league as well. So it could be a future play as well. Luke, you also bid on him.
I did. Yeah. I put down $14. I'm seeing the same things that you are in Fulgham. I'm seeing a connection with Carson Wentz. He's getting looked at more than Greg Ward, who I guess is he's like the only other healthy receiver in Philly at the moment. But what I'm also seeing is Zach Ertz is struggling. Yeah. And with a struggling Zach Ertz that is still taking coverage because he's Zach Ertz, Fulgham is going to get those looks.
Yeah, and Philadelphia is not afraid to throw the ball here. I mean, Wentz threw it 35 times last week. The first three games threw it over 40 times each game. There's a lot of air to go around, and mm-hmm. only like two good receivers. So,
right, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, very good opportunity here for Fulgham to continue to get looks and to continue to build that connection with Carson Wentz. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the money I spent. So 64 of my dollars are gone this week. That is a lot. I am down to $12.
You're down to $12 there, bud.
But I don't know. I feel pretty good about my team. We'll talk about more how I've sort of helped to fortify my team a little bit as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that for sure. Other two pickups that happened, Jackson with the only other two pickups. He picked up Gus Edwards for $5, and he picked up Miami's defense for free. Miami's defense, good pickup for this week because they are going against the New York Jets.
Who are really bad.
Incredibly bad.
Except now Crowder. Crowder's played well.
Crowder has played incredibly well.
I mean, when you're the only breathing player on the team.
Yeah, that helps. But, I mean, you know, only breathing player on the team, all of that. But he's had, he's played in three games. He's put up 100 yards in all three of them.
Yeah, he's had 33 targets in three games. It's pretty good.
That's insane. My gosh. Where does that put him on, like, the target leaderboard?
On a per-game basis, number two.
How about overall? Even though he missed 2 weeks.
Yeah, missing 2 weeks definitely hurts him. He's in like the upper 20 range.
Yeah, but he's in the upper 20 range, which is like, you know, wide receiver two levels, right. You know, and he missed 2 weeks. That's insane. They throw him the ball so much.
Yeah, it's a good player to have on your team. So I would probably start him, Eric, if I was you.
Yeah, he's proven it at this point. If he's healthy, you play him. Yeah. And I think that Miami defense, I think the cornerbacks are a little banged up. Maybe they may be playing, but they might be a little banged up. I can't tell. I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what we had for the waiver action. There were a few other pickups that happened during the morning, but we don't need to go into all of those. You guys went kind of nuts with kickers and defense.
Standard free agent stuff. Yeah.
Yep, pretty much. And now, for the first time in what feels like a long time, we have a trade to talk about. Happened earlier today. It was between us, Eric.
Yeah.
It was a podcast trade. Eric, I sent you Alexander Mattison, the backup running back for the Minnesota Vikings. Based on this Dalvin Cook news, I kind of had to. Yep. And in return, I received Carlos Hyde and Denzel Mims. Carlos Hyde is the backup running back in Seattle. I have Chris Carson, so this is another handcuff situation a little bit. And then Denzel Mims, we threw on there as a wide receiver prospect. I mean, he's not healthy so far, but he has pretty decent draft capital. He has good athletic ability. This isn't a now play for me.
Yeah, no, I think he can be a good player someday. But yeah, I was a little sad to see him go. But for me, it's kind of a no-brainer not having Cook. I needed Madison because all the Vikings want to do is run the ball. That's all they want to do. That's what they're good at. It's really, I had to have him considering Cook's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're finding that with the bench depth, how deep our benches are, how many players are not available. Having handcuffs now that we're in a dynasty format is pretty important.
Yeah, it's crucial because I can't go find a running back off of the waiver wire to help supplement, right? This week in particular, we'll talk about it in the matchup. We'll talk about that. But I don't have Alvin or Dalvin.
Yeah, and so you need Alexander Mattison to fill that gap and give you a starting running back.
Exactly.
So that you can, you know, carry over the week, essentially.
Yeah. I think Mims will be a good player someday, but Jets need to figure it out.
Well, Jets need to fire Adam Gase. Once that happens, I feel much better about all of the Jets players.
Yeah, right.
All of them.
Yeah, almost instantly.
Yeah. Crazy how firing a head coach can have that effect on players. Look at, prime example, Bill O'Brien gets fired. Immediately the next week, Brandon Cooks suddenly puts up a great week. Was he like not in the game plan while Bill O'Brien was coaching? What the fuck?
Yeah, it is. It is kind of bizarre sometimes how that happens.
Yeah. So we all want Adam Gase to get fired.
Yes.
And now, but that's the trade review. Exciting. There might be more coming. We'll see. Rumblings are going around.
Are they?
That's all we'll say.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if there are actually rumblings going around, but I feel like if I say it, I might speak it into existence.
Oh, that's a good idea. I heard there were rumblings too.
Yeah, there we go. See, you are hearing the same rumblings that I am. Maybe
different rumblings.
Ah, all of the rumblings.
So there's even more rumblings.
Yeah, but that is our rumbling review. And so moving on, Eric.
Yeah, here's your power rumblings. sorry, I couldn't resist.
Your rumbling rankings?
Yeah, so I'm just going to go through these. We have a new number 10, which is exciting, I think.
Oh, wow, what a fall from grace.
Yeah, Wrath of Kwan sitting at number 10 this week. Sucks. Sucks, man. Team Fire Adam Gase sitting at 9th. Team Rennie moving up 2 spots to number 8. The Los Angeles Rams and Team DJ AJ Will sitting at 7-6 respectively. No movement for them. Feeling it now, Mr. Krabs sitting at number 5, dropping a couple spots. Voodoo moving up a spot to number 4. Sherlock Mahomes moving to 3. Prestige Worldwide is still sitting at 2. And Alvin and the Dalvins is still at number 1 so far. The loss didn't drag me down yet.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm noticing that I keep rising in weeks that I lose, and I keep falling in weeks that I win. It's weird.
Maybe you're just getting more consistent. Like your wins are like dominating wins.
Mm.
They're like so big that they're like pulling away your consistency and all those other things.
Right. Yeah, that could be it. And then the losses are super close, so then the consistency kind of gets balanced. I don't know.
Yeah, one thing to note about your team, Luke, your bench points per player have gone up every week.
I like that because I feel like I have a lot of prospects on that bench.
Yeah, right now you're at 9.9 points per bench player.
Well, actually, what that is, we haven't talked about this a whole lot, but what that is, I think it's Chase Edmonds that's doing that for me.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
Because the Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds situation is weird right now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Kenyon Drake does not look the same as he did last year. Chase Edmonds is getting all of the running back passing work while Kenyon Drake gets none. So this is a weird running back situation in Arizona.
Yeah.
One to keep an eye on, basically. But that could explain the bench points.
Yeah. Yeah, it could.
But Eric, congratulations. Retain that top spot.
Thank you.
And with that, with the power rankings, we're going to get into the matchup preview. It is a heavy hitting matchup preview this week. We have the number 1 and the number 2 in our power rankings facing off against each other. Eric.
And standings, not even just the power rankings. These are the right 1, 2 in the standings too.
Yeah, these are the best two teams in the league. The only two teams that have scored over 700 points of everyone. Eric. Your Alvin and the Dalvinless squad is taking on Blake's Prestige Worldwide team for the first time.
Yeah, first time.
The only time? Question mark.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look at the schedule. Probably the only time if it's already week 5, 6, yeah, and we haven't played yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, Here's what the spread is right now. Blake, the number 2 power rankings team, currently projected a 134.8, which is a 53% chance to win. Over Eric's 132.3. This is a very close matchup.
Yeah.
Based on projections alone, this is going to be very interesting. I mean, but we know that your squads are great. We know that already. So we've looked at both of these squads once before. Let's just get into some of these heavy hitters, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll start on your side of the ball, Eric. We talked about Andy Dalton. Matchup against Arizona. They could go either way, honestly. It's going to be interesting to see how this first week starting for Dalton pans out. I agree with you. I have high hopes for Andy Dalton. I think he's going to be very good. Other than that,
is he $37 for waivers good though?
I would say, I say no, only because you could have gotten him for free.
Right. Right.
But I say he would have been worth about $16.
Yeah. $16. That's the number.
Look, man, quarterback depth is one of those other things where you need it.
It's one of those weird things about this league too, is because there's no one on the waivers. You have to have a full deck of quarterbacks that you're willing to start.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole bunch of, you just got to take that shot. And $37, that's what you thought you needed for Dalton. That's what you felt good with. It makes sense. I'm for it. People put up more money for worse players.
That's fair. Thanks. I feel better now.
There you go. Perfect. Moving on down the list. We got Raheem Mostert. He's back. He's healthy. Against the LA Rams, this could be an interesting matchup just because the Rams defense against the run is relatively pretty good. But Raheem Mostert can, I don't know, he just needs one touch, man. He literally just needs to get the ball one time for a long carry, and he's set for the week. And he has the ability to do that. I like Raheem Mostert. We're going to keep on moving. We talked about Madison. Amari Cooper is interesting only because we don't know the relationship with Dalton. You know, again, this Arizona matchup, it doesn't look great on paper. I think he'll be fine. I don't know where in terms of like defense, would he be going up against Peterson?
Probably.
That could be rough.
Yeah.
But I think Cooper historically at home while he's been with the Cowboys has been a monster. Start the stud, you know. Moving on down the list, I'm just gonna guys that jump out at me immediately. Calvin Ridley against a bad Minnesota defense is gonna put up numbers, especially this first week without Dan Quinn. I feel like the Falcons are gonna come out firing. They're gonna want to prove that they are a force to be reckoned with. I see Calvin Ridley having a good week. He's only had one bad week all year. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much one dud there. Yeah,
that donut. What a hell of a bad week. And then the final guy that really jumps out at me here, AJ Brown, finally back, finally healthy in the first game that he is back. 9 targets, 7 catches, 82 yards and a touchdown. Corey Davis is not healthy. Adam Humphries just came off the COVID list. Weapons are kind of thin in Tennessee. AJ Brown being the tank that he is, against a Houston defense that is susceptible to the pass. I think he has a good week.
I hope so. Yeah.
Other than that, it's rough. It's a rough pull that you're facing Blake when both Alvin and Dalvin are out.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't help. That's the thing I'm most concerned about here. But I'm gonna jump into Blake's team since you sort of talked about mine. Ben's been playing really well, Ben Roethlisberger, so I like that as a starter. James Conner has been running pretty well. Aaron Jones coming fresh off a break, although he has a hard matchup against Tampa Bay this week. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know what I think about Justin Jefferson yet. I kind of think those couple weeks were a little fluky. I don't think he's that player yet. I think he can be that player someday, but I don't think that's quite where we're at. I think that's more of a who is this guy, how do I defend him type of thing.
I agree a little bit. Atlanta secondary talked about how they're not good. We talked about that.
Yeah.
But you look at the snap percentage for Justin Jefferson. He's hovering on 80%. He's on the field a lot.
Yeah, no, I understand that he's on the field a lot. I just think those that 28 point week, and even 13 is a little bit high for Justin Jefferson right now. And his projection is showing that it's at 10.5. So I think I could probably buy that. I don't think he exceeds it by too much. Devonte Adams, first time back after 3 weeks, I think he missed week 3 and 4, and they had a bye in week 5. He's going to be rearing to go. He's going to probably be amazing. Tyreek Hill is a great player, boom or bust kind of guy. Mark Andrews has been putting up really good numbers. He's the tight end 3 right now. 3.5-ish, I would say. He gets a lot of looks. He gets a lot of touchdowns. Mark Andrews is a stud. Clyde, he's underperformed so far this season. It'll be interesting to see what happens. That Buffalo defense kind of got shredded by Tennessee yesterday, or Tuesday night, I should say, since you guys don't know when we record this, although you do. They might come back strong against Kansas City, and their run defense is pretty solid. So we'll see how that goes. And that's it for skill players.
Yeah. Otherwise, Steelers defense is amazing.
Yeah, right. I'm grateful DK Metcalf's on bye.
Yeah, that helps you a whole lot, because DK Metcalf is an absolute monster. He's the clear number one in that offense anymore. He's the go-to guy. He's on the field around 90% of the time every week, almost 100% of the time every week.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Oh my gosh, he's going to be very good for a very long time. This is only his second year in the league.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I love DK Metcalf.
Yeah, man. I want to double back real quick on that Tyreek Hill take. You said Tyreek, boom or bust.
Yeah, I now look at his numbers and see that that's not true.
Yeah, I think, you know, years ago, that was kind of the mentality for Tyreek Hill, is that he's a speedy guy. He can get behind the defense, get over the top, score a lot of touchdowns. Besides that, not a whole lot of value anymore. He is a very refined route runner. He creates separation very easily at the line. He's on the field a lot. He gets a lot of looks, a lot of targets, and with Patrick Mahomes throwing at him the ball, I don't think anyone's a boomer bust outside of Mecole Hardman.
Right. Yeah. I'm worried about
no week. No week under 13 points for Tyreek Hill so far.
Yeah, I'm pretty worried about this matchup, I'll be honest. I honestly am leaning Blake here. Not having Alvin and Dalvin obviously is a huge, huge deal. We don't really know what Dalton is yet, and that affects both Dalton and Cooper for my side. And he's got a couple of Green Bay Packers that are capable of big time points that are just coming off a rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was without those Packers last week. I think that was part of the reason why I almost pulled off a victory. But if Aaron Jones and Davante Adams were playing on the field, I would have been fucked.
Yeah, right. I think he's got too much talent here on his team for me to contend with, and that's why I'm going to pick Blake.
All right.
I want to win, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
All right. That's fair. You know, you're seeing the matchup and you're picking a side.
Yeah.
It's not your side. That happens sometimes, you know. We're all skeptical about our own team a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. You know, as much as I like your team and as much as I like some of the matchups that you guys have, I see a lot of boom potential for Madison, and I see a lot of boom potential for Calvin Ridley and AJ Brown. I think just the floor and the talent that Blake's squad has is going to be rough, Eric. It's going to be a tough matchup.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Blake as well.
Well, there you go, Blake. Congratulations.
Either that's very good for you, Blake, or it's very bad.
Yeah, and it's the beginning of the downward slope of our projections here.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be.
I hope that's the case. I really do.
I don't, because I don't have any skin in the actual matchup. Literally, the only my skin in this matchup is literally this prediction.
Yeah, that's true.
Blake, rooting for you.
I'm not, but I think you're going to win.
No offense, Eric.
No, I understand. It's all
good. That's what happens. That's what happens. We do this and we understand the risks that we're taking when we put our opinions out there.
Yeah, it's all good. No, it's all good. It's just a game.
Yeah, exactly. We do it for fun and money.
And a little bit of money. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of money. A little bit. But yeah, that's our preview. That's our matchup for the week. We'll see how it plays out. Eric, best of luck against that prestige worldwide squad.
Thank you.
Yeah. But that is our final segment of the show. Eric, would you have anything else you would like to add?
I don't.
Perfect. Well, with that, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Blue Balls podcast. It has been a joy recording. Thank you for listening. And with that, have a good night, have a great day, and have a great week.
Good luck.